title of our Sunday school lesson today is Minister and Church Relationship, and our devotional and background study comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Will there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, at this time, I'll ask teachers to take charge. Our lesson text takes up today where the devotional background study left off, and that'll be in the ninth verse of the first chapter of Colossians. And I'll read that now and continue on. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We have here a letter that Paul wrote to the saints that are in Colossus. I don't know if I pronounced that right or not, but it's a letter to the saints there, to the saved individuals. And he starts off in the devotional and background study saying he's wishing God's grace upon them. He wants God to be with them. And then he gives thanks in the third verse here that... And praying always for them. The reason I bring this out is the thing that came across to me as I read this was a prayer and concern for our brethren, our saved brethren. That's what I see here from Paul towards these people. And I think that just kind of stood out, that we need as God's people to have a concern, a prayer for our other church members in this church, and also for the churches that are around about us, that we might be in prayer for them. Now, the thing that I got out of this lesson today, and as I studied in it, was not so much the relationship of the church and our pastor. I do want to try to get to some of those things. But the one thing that struck me was the need for prayer. And so that's kind of the direction I'm going here. But Paul prayed and he gave thanks to God for these. And he goes on down here to the seventh verse. And as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. This man, Epaphras, has spread the word. He has told Paul, I believe, and Timotheus what's going on. He spread the word. He's sharing the gospel. He's sharing the happenings of these saints that are in Colossae, and Paul is rejoicing in that. And I think that's a great thing. I like to see that in our church. You know, when we hear of people being saved or people having communion with the Lord, that the Lord comes down and meets in one of our sister churches, that's good for us to hear. And I like to think that when we have good services and people get saved here, or people testify and they shout, that word goes out to the churches that are around about us, and that it gives them a warm feeling and a thankfulness. Because we need that. We need to feel the Spirit of God amongst us. We need to know that He is still about us in this region that we live in. Not just Nashville, but up towards Hartsville and out towards Murfreesboro and out towards West Tennessee. We need to feel that. We need to know God's still among us. Because it's so easy, and it's so easy for me to get discouraged and to feel like, man, it's almost hopeless. It's almost like, you know, it's just gone so far and we're so weak. I know I'm weak. I know that I go through my week and I get up early in the morning and I just start thinking about work and I start thinking about getting to work and it's just on my mind. I think about the things that I need to do. There's not enough time in the day, it seems like. But I was talking to Lisa this morning and I said, you know, I do this thing. I feel like I should spend some of my time studying the Bible. I need to spend my time praying to God. I need to spend my time thinking about y'all, praying for y'all. Cindy requested prayer for this family, and she said she believed that we pray for her. And I do when I think about it. My problem is I don't think about it as much as I ought to. I believe that when someone here requests prayer, it's my duty to pray every day that prayer. I'm sorry to say that I don't do that as the way that I ought to. But we owe God that, and that's what we as God's people need. We need to pray for one another, and we need to pray for ourselves, because it's not hopeless. We're not so far gone that God's not willing to hear. He wants us to turn to us. I think that I have a pessimistic attitude sometimes. I tend to think things are bad when they're not really that bad, because God can take care of everything. He can heal this land. He can heal this country. And things are bad in this country. We have a great amount of sin, and we as God's people tolerate a lot of things that we ought not to tolerate, and we're kind of okay with things that we shouldn't be okay with. But God can take care of those things. We as God's people have to pray to Him. We have to humble ourselves. And I know it's a scripture that comes up quite often, but 2 Chronicles chapter 7 talks about the prayer that Solomon had. And it's something along the lines of, when God's people turn to God with all their heart, then He will hear and He will heal the land. That's something that we as God's people need to do. We need to pray for our land to be healed. We need to pray for our people to be healed, to turn to Him, and to repent of our sins, that He will hear, because He will. He said He would. And I think that there only needs to be a handful of people to make a great change, to make a great difference. That if a handful of people get together and they pray and they humble themselves to God and they ask for healing and forgiveness, it'll spread. God will hear that, and He'll listen to that prayer. And He'll begin to heal it, and we'll see results. I know that I'm getting way off subject of what our subject is today, but I want to try to tie this together in the fact that we need to pray for our pastor. I believe that the Lord sent Brother Armour to us, and I believe he's the one that ought to be here. But we have a responsibility both to our pastor and to God to pray for him, that the Lord might lead him. We don't need to fall into a trap of thinking that he's got it made, that God put him here and God's going to just direct him, and it doesn't really matter what we do, and God's got his hand about Brother Armour, and Brother Armour's can do no wrong. That's not the way it is. Brother Armour's a man just like we are, and he's faced with the same trials and temptations that we are, and is capable of failing. But God did appoint him a position, and I believe that. I believe he appointed him a position here at this church. And if we will pray for him and support him and be behind him, then he can succeed. But, you know, we have as much responsibility to him as he does to us. And he does have a responsibility to us, I believe. But not only should we pray for him, we need to pray for his family, that they will support him and they will be there for him to help him through. Because I believe it's hard on them also. And, you know, I think that Satan is... He focuses on people that are strong in the Lord. He doesn't really, when I fall weak and I kind of drift away and I don't pray the way that I ought to, and I let worldly things get a hold of me and enter into my mind and my heart, Satan's got it made. He doesn't really need to spend a lot of time with me at that point, you know. All he's got to do is kind of maintain that. He can just kind of add a little fuel here and there and keep me going when I've drifted away. But when one of God's people is near God and serving God and praying and with a humble heart, contrite spirit, and doing all they can to draw near to God, I think Satan turns his attention to that person also. The point I'm trying to make on all of that is that that's where the prayers are needed also. So, you know, prayers are needed for a lot of different things, and it does a lot of good in many different ways. But we as God's people need to be there. We need to be praying for our pastor. We need to be praying for each other. And we need to be praying for sister churches. And I think that's what Paul was doing here with these saints that are at Colossae. He's praying for them. And he's letting them know. He's reassuring them that the things that have gone on in their church has reached him. And he's rejoicing with them. He wants them to know. He wants them to know that they're not alone, and that the Spirit of the Lord is moving about in that region of the country. I think it's still moving about in our region of the country. But we need to be faithful to God on that. In the ninth verse here he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to praise for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." I said that there were a lot of different aspects to the prayers that we need to be praying, and a lot of different needs that need to be fulfilled here. But some of the things that Paul is mentioning is filled with knowledge to know what to do. Knowledge to know what to pray for. And that's something that I have a lot of times. I just have to ask God, what is it that I need to be praying for? I know I need to be praying. I need to be praying every day. But sometimes I don't know what it is that I'm needing. And I need that knowledge of what to pray for and that knowledge of what to do. And but then he goes on, knowledge of his will, what it is that God wants to have happen, not what I want to have happen. As a church body, need to be seeking after the will of the Lord, what it is that he wants us to do. Now, we know that he wants us to spread the gospel. We know that he wants us to let people know what it is they need to have the plan of salvation. We're to spread that. But what direction do we take? Who do we talk to? We need to know what it is that is God's will. And then he says, all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Not just an understanding with our mind, but the feeling in our heart, to feel the presence of God in our heart, to feel the leadership of the Holy Spirit guiding us as individuals and guiding us as a church and guiding our pastor. You know, I said earlier that we have a responsibility to our pastor to pray for him and to keep him in our heart and on our minds. He has a responsibility to lead us and to guide us and to give us direction, to let us know, to preach the gospel. He has a responsibility to pray to God that God might let him know what to stand up and to preach. So we're very much intertwined here as a church, as individuals, and with our pastor. I go back to prayer again. We need the direction of God, and we need to know what it is He would have us do. So does Brother Armour. He needs the direction of God. He needs to know what it is God would have him to do. And situations come up sometimes, you know, we tend to sometimes, we see something and we think that's a good thing to do. That's a good work to do right there, and we ought to take off after it. And maybe we should, but we need to know. We need to know if that's what God wants us to do. Because without the leadership of the Lord, we're not going to make any progress. We're not going to do anything good if we go forth in our own will, with our own self-will. Spiritual understanding here is what he says, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing God, pleasing the Lord in the walk that we undertake, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I was reading in the Bible, and I think it was back in the Old Testament. I don't even remember now, and it was yesterday. That shows you how bad things are getting. But anyway, I read some commentary after I read some scripture, and it was talking about the milk, the newly saved people feeding on the milk, and the manna that came down from heaven. And then later on it spoke about the old corn from the more seasoned Christians. We as God's people can never stop increasing in knowledge of the Lord, gaining more and more into the meat and less into the milk that occurs when we're spiritual babies. And it doesn't have anything to do with our physical age. And, you know, I think that as Christians we can kind of back away from the Bible, back away from knowledge, and kind of ease ourselves back into being babies, you know. Ease ourselves back into needing the milk to grow up again. It's not exactly like it is now. You know, we can't go back in time and be young again with our physical bodies. But I'm afraid that it's possible spiritually to become babes again, to give up the knowledge that we have and have to start over, if you will. That's my thought. That's my opinion. I could be wrong on that. But I know that we need to be diligent in service to God and diligent in prayer, diligent in our studies of the Bible. He goes on here to say, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Long-suffering with joyfulness. That sometimes is difficult. I mean, it's difficult to suffer and be joyful about it. But if God is there with us, if He's there seeing us through, we can have that spiritual joy, that feeling in our heart that things are going to be okay. And I believe y'all have experienced that in times past. I've also experienced it in times past where I was going through things, troubles and problems and faced with stuff, and I wasn't near God. There was no joy at all there. That's just misery. That's just doubt and worry and fear and all things that are not godly things. But when I faced problems and I was near God, and it looked like there's no way things are going to turn out right. It looks like there's no way things are going to be able to go well. And yet I had a peace in my heart because I was near God. That's what we need here. That's what he's talking about. Increased, strengthened, and with all patience, just wait. Just wait for God and trust in Him and turn to Him. And just bear the burden, bear the trial that you're faced with there with joyfulness, knowing that the Lord is there with you, feeling Him in your heart, and knowing that He's there with you and it's going to be okay. You don't know how it's going to turn out. It may not turn out good. Sometimes things don't turn out well, but God will be there to see us through. And He has promised us that He would. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Being thankful for those things that God has done for us. Being thankful for the salvation of our souls, that we have a home in glory, and that Nothing can take that away from us. And that's something, you know, when things get really bad and I don't see a way that anything's going to turn out good, I can just stop and think, you know, it's not going to last forever. This life is not going to last forever. If nothing else, you can look forward to that day when you go on to be into heaven. Go on to be with the Lord, because we've got that. We that are saved have that. It's a sealed thing, and nothing's going to take it away from us. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That is a comforting verse there, because I fail the Lord. I sin, and I look back, and I know I can look back on the week when I've done things, when I didn't do things that I knew he wanted me to do. I know I failed him, and I can be thankful that when I turn to him and I ask him, and I just admit, you know, I should have done it, Lord, and I didn't, and I really repent, and he'll forgive me. And no matter how many times that happens, if I turn to him with the right spirit, he'll forgive me. That in itself is something to be thankful for, because he is faithful to us, and he takes care of us no matter what we do, no matter how far we stray. If we'll turn back to him, he will forgive us and he will heal us. Lost my place here, y'all. Hold on just a minute. Actually, I think that I'm about done. Does anybody have anything, any questions or any comments? I'm running out of anything to say, so I think that's probably a good time to stop.
Enjoyed your lesson, Terry.
Thank you, Brenda.
I got a couple things, Terry. I was thinking about I know I told y'all when I had my MRI, I prayed for everybody in the church, and that's what got me through it, because I started up here and worked my way back through everybody. And in the 25 minutes that they made me lay there, I didn't get all the way through the church. So it just tells you, if we really took time to pray for each other and all the requests that we've heard, it would take us a substantial amount of time. And then I also thought about Sister Joyce in the bulletin and how great she is to list everybody's prayer requests in the bulletin. And during the week, we could just pray for just that. You know, we could get it out. It's a good reminder to us of who said what. And because, trust me, I like to lump y'all all in sometimes, you know, all your needs. Let's just cover them with one big prayer. You know, does that make sense? And I know that's wrong, because I think it's really special for me when I'm at church and I hear somebody say something, my name or somebody's name that I've asked for prayer means the world to me. So I think Sister Joyce does a great job with that. And then I was thinking, if we were Brother Armour, man, wouldn't that be scary? I mean, he really needs our prayers big time. He doesn't want to be up there without us praying for him. And then, you know, he's kind of given us the challenge of reading the Bible in a year, and I've never done that, not in a year, not any. So, I mean, I've read bits and pieces. But so Billy and I are going through his, and I don't have a whole lot of history reading Leviticus, but man, is the devil all over me and Billy, because he's really not wanting us to get through that book at all. And it's really long and drawn out and repeats itself, and just, it's like, oh, it's such a chore. I'd really like to skip the whole book. But I mean, and my point in saying that is that devil's working on us, because what he wants us to do now is just scrap it. Don't read it at all. You know, okay, this is book's hard to get through. Just don't read it. You don't need it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, that's all about the devil right there. So, anyway, that's just a couple comments I have.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about, both in the prayer and lumping everybody together, because that's, and I agree with you, I don't think that's right. But I have done it.
Better than nothing, I guess.
I suppose. I'm not sure.
Well, in my justification, I don't think it's better than nothing.
But, yeah, I agree with you. With what you said, and, also about the reading of it, it does sometimes you want to skip parts and give up, and just because I can think of so many other things to do. You know, I can sit around the house and not have anything at all to do and just be bored to tears. Well, I can read the Bible. And then suddenly there's all kinds of things to do. But
that Bible will turn you right into a nap too sometimes. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. All right. Thank you all for being here today. And thank you for your comments. If there's nothing else, let's be dismissed. And let's do keep Brother Armour in our prayers. Not just this morning, but all the time. And like Cindy was saying, you know, some of us are trying to read the Bible, and with me it's been kind of hit or miss. I'm probably going to end up more like reading the Bible in a decade or something at the rate I'm making, at the speed I'm going. But you know, I believe Brother Armour's trying to do that, and he's also trying to study for every Sunday, and I don't believe that's an easy thing to do. He does need our prayers. If there's nothing else, I'll ask Brother Don if he would dismiss us.
The most kind and righteous Heavenly Father, thank thee, Lord, for this another day. But thank thee for the Sunday school lesson that we heard this morning. But thank thee that you might bless the family and bless the brother who brought it. Ask, Lord, that you might help us and lead us and guide us to all truth. That we have pastors who left the clock hour. Pray, Lord, that we might pray for one another, and we might be more humble people in the future than we have in the past. Ask now that you might give us a good service today. Forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. And Lord, we feel in asking, fill my people. Labors and blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.